Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to a show that hopes to help you take control of your genes so you can live at the highest part of your curve possible. And that's what we do. And that's I'll review some of the things from the last hour because they were so good during this hour, if we get time, especially at the bottom of the hour and going forward. But one of the things I wanted to do is to remind you, as I was reminded by a caller, that we do have a call-in line, 844-305-7800. If it's busy, just keep calling, 844-305-7800. And I'm going to get to one of my favorite callers, Jim Graham, in just a second. But I want to do what I promised to do at the end of the first hour, which was the tip of the week on snow shoveling. But I forgot. Remember, snow shoveling can increase your risk of a heart attack because, one, it's hard work, and, two, it's done in a cold environment. So what do we say? Make sure if you're going to shovel in the morning, you've taken an aspirin the night before. Why? Because clotting, your blood gets thicker, if you will, in the morning. You've peed out some of your water, so it is less likely to run freely or more likely to clot, which increases the heart attack risk, which is why we say get an aspirin beforehand, an hour beforehand, or preferably before you go to bed, two baby aspirin. Check with your doctor to make sure you can get it. The second thing is give yourself some time to warm up and to move before grabbing the shovel. And when you're out there, do light shoveling before you start to get the real shoveling. That's right, a warm-up is doing less of the normal activity, and you need a warm-up before you go out to shovel, because shoveling snow is hard work, hard exercise, and it is resistance exercise combined with cardiovascular in a cold environment, all things that make your either, if you will, blood vessels constrict or decrease or make your heart work harder. The two together, your blood vessels constricting because of cold air and you not warming up, so you're not getting a vasodilating effect in those, and you're doing hard work with shoveling, make a heart attack more likely. So make sure you do that warm-up. And warm-up is doing the same activity, that is shoveling, but with a very small grab and a small amount of work compared to what you would do regularly, smaller shovel, if you will, or just a smaller amount of snow at each shovel till you're warmed up. And that's the real age tip of the week for the first hour. Now we have one of my favorite callers. And now we have one of my favorite callers, Jim Graham, who's going to talk to, I don't know what he's got on his mind, but he is always, he's a great man, a former catcher and pipe fitter who lives up in the heart of the snow belt, but they didn't get hardly any snow, I understand, with this storm.
We didn't get it.
Jim,
we
how are you?
We didn't get a flake up here. I'm just watching TV and watching all the heavy snow down below me, and I'm very happy about that.
Now, Dr. you Mike. Have a snowblower as well as shovel, right?
Yes, and you know what, Dr. Mike? This year, I went out and I got that snowblower overhauled and ready for all the snow we generally get this time of year, and I'm very happy to say it's sitting in the driveway and hasn't been used yet.
You haven't gotten any snow?
No, we've had about 6-7 inches, but I'm a little lazy. And heck with it. I was running over it with the car, and it's packed right down nice, and I've got a nice base for a driveway now. I don't have to worry about it.
Now, do you still sled? You've got great hills up in... He lives in Mexico, New York, which I always thought was a funny name for a town, but it's Mexico, New York, and you do sledding, right?
Well, I'm not sledding anymore. I used to sled when I was a kid. Yeah, and, you know, you say Mexico is funny. We have a Cleveland, we have a Texas, we have a New Haven, which I live in properly. But, no, I don't do any sledding anymore. I used to ski, I used to hunt, and all these things. I'm getting too old now. I don't know, I'm just running out of gas.
Well, you ought to try. Do you still have a sled?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got an old flexible flyer in my garage with the old metal runners. None of that plastic.
Well, you ought to. I think the next big snow is an occasion to try that, Jim.
Yeah, I just see myself out now with that. Right, right. They'll be picking me up.
Well,
at the bottom
of the hill.
We're
going to do a tip of the week at the end of the hour on how to sled. The real age tip of the week this hour is how to sled safely. So you should keep listening. But anyway, go ahead. Ask me some questions.
Okay, Mike, as you know, I'm an old guy, and for 40-some years, I had a wonderful lady in this house that used to cook for me. All the food safety preparations, everything else. And I do know about cooking food thoroughly. And, you know, I'm washing vegetables and all these things. But I was listening to Mr. Marler, and he did not mention one thing. As I get older, my immune system is getting a little bit weaker, and I'm taking some medications. How do I protect myself against reactions with foods that I eat that have with the medications that I'm taking? Because I've been reading some of those things have been happening. How do I protect myself from that? Because when she was in the hospital, she was taking Coumadin, and they told her not to eat anything with vitamin K because it would make her bleed more freely. How do I protect myself from reaction from foods with my medications?
Well, you've asked a very, very profound and excellent question. And there are more than one question there, so let me go in and first address the first issue. The first issue you brought up was that your immune system decreases as we get older, and that both makes infections more likely as well as decreases allergic responses to food. So there's a plus and a minus, but the real minus as you get older is we lose stomach acid, and that's especially true if you're taking some of the protein pump inhibitors for GERD, such as Prilosec or the purple pills. They decrease the stomach acid in your stomach, and we lose stomach acidity as we get older anyway, and that inhibits our ability to just kill bugs with stomach acidity. It means we've got to be even more careful in washing and cleaning food and cooking the food right before we eat it as we get older. Now, the second question is a really tough one. That is, what do you do about food and drug interactions if you have to have drugs? So there are some drugs you can take that don't have, or there are many drugs we take that don't have food-drug interactions. But the only way is each time you get a new drug is to ask the doc, what are the food-drug interactions? Your doc may not know. The person who is most experienced, most knowledgeable in this, is the pharmacist. So if you've got a mail-order pharmacy subscription, find out the phone number and talk to a pharmacist on the phone. The pharmacist is the most underused resource that is available free, usually, to you. So most drugstores have a pharmacist who's just dying to talk to you about this, because basically that's what they live for, is to be able to help people who are getting drugs do it safely. And so, Jim, that's a great question. Use the pharmacist is the answer I would give, and do some internet checking yourself. But believe it or not, the pharmacist is usually better able to do it than the old internet.
Dr. Mike, before I go, I had a couple other short questions, and it perturbs me about when I go buy apples in a store. Okay, I bring them home and I wash them thoroughly before I eat them. But don't forget, they coat those apples with wax before you eat them. Now, should I be eating that wax? Because I remember you told me that anything that any fat or any substance like that that's hard at room temperature is hard in your arteries.
Well, the wax isn't good for you, but you don't eat it. What it does is it inhibits all of the...
The all-important family meal. Dinner just got happier and healthier. Why? because kids are begging for crunchy, out-of-this-world, yummy, healthy veggie fries. Yep, they're healthy because they're made with real vegetables. You can choose from broccoli or carrot, chickpea and red pepper, or kale and Tuscan bean, or choose all four. Veggie fries are gluten-free, a good source of fiber, and an excellent source of vitamin A, C, and K. Plus, they're very low in sodium. Veggie fries are a parent's dream for their family. Hey, and parents love them too. So if you want to hear more veggies, please, at your dinner table, look for them in the freezer section of your favorite supermarket or natural food store. For more about veggie fries, please go to eatveggiefries.com. Veggie fries.
Did you know your eyes have hidden connections to your overall health? The Eye Care Revolution, an easy-to-read analysis of vision and health by Dr. Robert Abel Jr., is an authoritative guide that explains natural and conventional methods to prevent and even reverse many common vision disorders like cataracts, glaucoma, dry eye, macular degeneration, and diabetes-related vision loss. From high-tech laser treatments to centuries-old Asian remedies, the Eye Care Revolution, with a foreword by Dr. Mehmet Oz, provides amazing nutritional, herbal, homeopathic, and conventional methods to improve your eye health and overall health and wellness. Dr. Abel shares breakthrough information about eye strain, new developments in LASIK surgery, discusses how computers and texting are affecting our eyes, what you need to know about your children's eyes, the easy way to administer eye drops, antioxidant must-haves for your eyes, alternative therapies, and so much more. Order The Eye Care Revolution by Dr. Robert Abel Jr. on Amazon.com. That's The Eye Care Revolution.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction. But where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
More than half of all Americans, including teenagers, don't drink enough water. Waterlogged is a great app that will help you build good water habits with customized tracking and personalized reminders. Download Waterlogged from the iTunes App Store and start using your iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad to track and improve your water intake. Set your goals, record your consumption, and get Waterlogged's exclusive smart reminders to alert you when you're behind pace to meet your daily goal and when it's time to hydrate. Optimal water intake is a goal that you can successfully achieve, and it'll make a measurable impact on how you feel and your overall health, because every system in your body depends on water. People who use reminders are 5 times more likely to reach their goals consistently, so let Waterlogged help you stay on track. Waterlogged is compatible with Apple Health and Fitbit, so you can log your water with the best app in the App Store and get a full picture of your health in your favorite app. Download Waterlogged from the App Store or visit waterlogged.com.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Michael Roizen, MD. Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is my favorite segment of the show coming up with Gary Ginsberg, whatstoxic.com. Gary, last week you even told us about the Zika virus before the CDC or anyone else did. So thanks for keeping the show up to date. And one of those things you're keeping up to date, are you getting any snow now up in Connecticut?
It's just starting to lighten up. We've been waiting all day. My daughter, who lives in Washington, had 15 inches on the ground as of early this morning, and we're still waiting for that.
Well, one of the things, actually, we had just a dusting here in Cleveland, which is our normal morning dusting, makes things white and beautiful, just like always. But right now, we have bright sun and blue skies, so we're somehow at the other end. But I want to give advice from Buffalo, since I got great advice. Someone in Buffalo, New York, who's listening to us, just emailed me and said, what's the best thing to do in a blizzard?
What's that?
Gary?
What's the best thing to do in a blizzard? Probably, you know, I lived in Buffalo for 4 years, and I don't know what your caller is going to say we should do, but I'll tell you one thing to not do. Don't get trapped in your car on an elevated highway. When I was there, hundreds of people died in a blizzard. They had to abandon their car or were frozen to death in it. So that's what I would not
what
do.
It says, what this says is the best advice from Buffalo, New York, to do in a blizzard is stay home and do nothing.
Exactly.
Now, tell us about urban snow in general. What should, if you want to... should we encourage the kids, if they go outside, to hydrate by eating the snow?
Well, let me just add to that comment about staying indoors. If the power goes out during a horrendous storm, you just really want to make sure that your generator is ventilated and well ventilated. Don't run the thing. This is the message this time of the year, is sometimes in blizzards, like we're getting pounded with in parts of the East Coast, power might go out, and people I know in my region have stocked up on generators, and they don't always come with great instructions, or people don't read the instructions and do the wrong thing and could create a carbon monoxide hazard that's going to be more dangerous than being cold and freezing to death. It will kill you quicker if you let carbon monoxide build up from a generator in a garage, let's say a garage with the door closed in the garage. That's like a running car and will create fumes that could make you or the rest of your family intoxicated and expire. So do have a carbon monoxide detector that works, several of them around your house. And if you have a generator, make sure that it is well ventilated to the outside. Now, this is an interesting story. In the snow season, somebody did an analysis of snow in an urban area to see if it builds up to high levels of contaminants. And sure enough, they found all sorts of contaminants, pesticides, benzene, even PCBs in snow. And snow is basically frozen water. A lot of these chemicals are not that water-soluble, but just enough solubility for them to carry in a trace of it. And whatever's in the atmosphere could get knocked out of the atmosphere. Physical scrubbing action of the snow carrying these gases, and especially in cold temperatures, these chemicals will tend to condense out and glom onto the snow particles. So, yes, snow does have, just like styrofoam cups, you know, if you've got contaminated water and you're drinking out of styrofoam, the styrofoam itself will suck up the contaminants and may release it into a hot cup of coffee. So very interesting about how things can sorb chemicals. The levels in the snow, by the way, weren't that high. And if kids are eating a handful of snow occasionally, it's not going to lead to a toxic situation. But it's just interesting that how snow and rain can scrub pollutants out of the atmosphere, and actually the air will be cleaner the day after a snowstorm.
Speaking of air and water being cleaner, what happened with smog-free cinemas in Beijing? Can you go to a movie in the evening and it be healthier?
Well, do you know the first environment to be air-conditioned in the United States when air conditioners were coming on board in the 1940s? Movies. That was the summer blockbuster hit, was you'd go to the movies to cool off. Well, now in Beijing, they're going to the movies to breathe easier because the air quality is so bad at home, in the street, and even in the office buildings, because particulate pollution could go right through a lot of most buildings. And so if you don't have a dedicated air purification system to scrub out the particulate matter. You're going to be breathing in particulates wherever you're at, high levels in China, unhealthy levels in Beijing. So these movie theaters have come up with a system to drop the levels by about tenfold, down below 20 micrograms per cubic meter. Still not perfect, but a lot better than outside in the movie theater. So now people could go to the movies and enjoy the cinema and the popcorn and the drinks and good air. It's sort of like going to the mountains for a movie.
Don't have those fried popcorn things in the movies, though, if you do go. So when you go to China, if you want to get clean air, probably the best place, even better than your hotel, may well be the movie theater.
Maybe, but I see this as a real business opportunity over this. I mean, it's going to come up with a business plan to put a lot of, in polluted cities, to go to venues with good air purification systems. I think there's a real market for that in places that could afford it.
And what about lessons from Flint? This is kind of like unmaking public health, eh?
Yeah, the unmaking of public health in a glass of water, I call it. But those of us who work in public health, we are often invisible, and nobody knows until something like Flint happens the job that's being done behind the scenes day in and day out by dedicated public health officials looking at the test data, making sure companies are testing, and in cities and regions that have old lead plumbing, it is so, so important to make sure all those tests are being done and up to date on a quarterly basis. They don't actually test for lead. They test for pH. If the pH gets too acidic in the water for whatever reason, and what happened in Michigan is that the city of Flint temporarily switched over to drinking from a local water supply, the Flint River, and they didn't figure out that this water is way more corrosive than the other water supply, and it dragged all the lead out of their plumbing and put it into children's bodies, basically. And so when you're changing a water supply, you have to be especially careful. Changing anything in a system, changing the way the pipes work, the distribution system, the additives that you're putting into the water, you have to really make sure you're testing it well. They relax for 18 months, and as a result, kids came in with higher blood lead. Now, the other lesson, of course, to know from that is we don't know what the overall public health, we can predict what the effect will be overall on the population of Flint, Michigan's IQs, but on an individual basis, if the child's blood lead level went from, say, 2 to 4, that is still a lot lower than it was when, Mike, you and I were kids, when my blood lead level was probably 15 or 20, and that was the norm. So, people in Flint shouldn't jump off the edge of the cliff, and, their children can still get into a college and still do well in school. They, compared to everybody else, they're going to be a little bit slower because people in other communities, they don't have lead in the water. They don't have that as an obstacle. So, yes, they were given an extra hurdle other children and other school systems won't have. Those Flint, Michigan school systems need to do a better job to overcome the burden of lead in those children's bodies.
And that is What's Toxic, What's Not segment from Dr. Gary Ginsberg and the Connecticut Department of Health. Gary, stay warm, stay safe. Don't warm up if you shovel. And remember, do nothing is the best advice in a blizzard. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and more next week of Dr. Gary Ginsberg. You can always call in and ask questions, 844-305-7800. Stay well.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herbs or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving them to his family from the very start. You can find Michael's products at your local health food store, your favorite online retailers, or visit michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation today. That's michaelshealth.com.
What if you got rewarded for every good decision? What if your heart had a special way of letting you know it appreciates your healthy choices?
Oh, I've got to get my family to eat more vegetables.
Amazing!
And instead of cooking with butter tonight, I think I'll saute our veggies with a heart-healthy oil.
You're a genius!
So really, would your food choices pay off in heart health? Did you know that when you replace bad fats with healthier fats, like those in canola or other vegetable oils, it can lower bad cholesterol levels, and that's good for your heart. Here's a winning idea. Take up the challenge for good health, because the you of the future will say,
fantastic!
Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info proudly supports the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Radio MD.
Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
What does the word organic really mean?
So organic really means there's a lot of human labor put into the food that you're consuming. So it could mean there's no pesticides that are applied to seeds and to plants. There's no antibiotics or growth hormones, that are being used in animal products. And it also, in most cases, means that there's no GMO seed that's being used.
Become a healthier you 5 days a week.
What's GMO? What does non-GMO mean?
Okay, so GMO, this is a good one. So GMO stands for genetically modified organism. So the question is whether or not a seed or plant has some genetically modified gene in it.
It's health delivered daily. Listen live every Monday through Friday at noon Eastern on RadioMD.com, iHeartRadio, or the free TuneIn Radio app.
Today, you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You took the train. You did the crossword. You missed 22 across. You went to work. You had a meeting. You ate your lunch. You had another meeting. You wondered, how is anyone supposed to get any work done around here with so many meetings? You left the office. You took the train. You ate your dinner. You brushed your teeth. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado rips through town, leaving 30,000 people without power. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Michael Roizen, MD.
RadioMD.com.
Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. You can always ask us questions on this show, which helps you take control of your health. 844-305-7800, 844-305-7800, or send me an email at udocs@gmail.com. udocs@gmail.com. My computer is dysfunctional this today, unfortunately, so I can't get those online questions. I will get them in. If you send them today, I'll still get them next week. Just put question for Dr. Mike in the subject line, and I'll get them. That's udocs, udocs@gmail.com, or like Jim Graham did, 844-305-7800. Talk to Ben, our trusty engineer, and he'll get you on the air. My Well Beyond Wellness segment is, what makes your behavior change? Well, do warning labels on things do it? That is, when you have a safety belt, do you say, and do you put it on automatically? Well, we do that now, but that's because the police got pretty violent at getting us to do it. And it's also because we actually know it works to save lives. What about warning labels on cigarettes? Do any of the smokers even look at those warning labels about cigarettes can cause death? Do they stop anyone? Well, they do in Australia, where they have pictures, ugly pictures, but those ugly pictures were overturned by the Supreme Court in the U.S. when the U.S. tried to mandate them. But there is something that actually works at the local level on warning labels, and this study came out this week about sugared beverages. 2,933 kids were randomly assigned to either get exposed to warning labels or not. What happened when they saw a warning label about sugar being bad for your health and causing, in fact, cancer to grow faster, etc.? These were a random set of warning labels put on sugary beverages and on the vending machines that sold them. Well, it turns out that their sales went down 50%, 50%. So that's a dramatic reduction in sales of sugared beverages to kids who shouldn't have them. It turns out that the average, that over two-thirds of kids in America have one or more sugared beverage a day. If you put these warning labels on it, you can decrease that by a dramatic 50% in this one study done out of the University of Pennsylvania Children's Hospital, one of the best children's hospitals in the world. I can say that with some pride since my son works there, is a pediatrician at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. In any case, that is a study out of there. Now, let me go over a couple more stories that are really brilliant that I want to get to this hour. HPV, that's the human papillomavirus, that we're trying to give shots to all 9 to 12-year-old boys and girls to prevent cervical cancer and to prevent bladder cancer in guys and women. It turns out the HPV strains that this vaccine works against prevent something, if you get it, you can prevent something on the order of 90% of all cervical cancers in women, all penile cancers in men, and in bladder cancers. But now there's even more data that maybe more than 90% of head, neck, and throat cancers can be prevented. This was a group of 96,000 people who took a mouthwash test for oral HPV vaccine as part of the study. Yeah, you get it from oral sex, but you can prevent it with this vaccine. And it turns out that the people who developed cancer were between 7 and 22 times more likely to have been exposed to have HPV viral infections. So can you prevent it with a shot? Yes. If you haven't gotten the shot yet and you're an old codger like me, should you get it? Well, the answer is maybe. It looks like even giving the shot to old people will prevent these head and neck cancers. So maybe we should all get it. Certainly, if your significant other passes on and you want to become sexually active again, the answer would be yes, get the shot before you become sexually active again. Pretty amazing data, but that's what you should do, get the shot. Now, want to go through a couple more stories that are really exciting to me. Why is it that the Zika virus is spreading in Brazil and now in Jamaica, even in Miami, etc.? And it appears, yes, because this was the hottest year on record, that the mosquitoes are spreading it, are getting more active, it's warm and moist, and we're not doing as well at eliminating mosquito breeding grounds, and so they are more active in spreading this virus, which inhibits brain growth and causes small brains and dementia, or if you will, lack of cognitive ability in kids born if the mom's been exposed. So what do I do? I would say, don't go any place near Brazil or any of the countries. Go on the CDC website. It's given a warning, Jamaica, Brazil, Dominican Republic, even Puerto Rico. These are countries you should totally, and parts of our country, Puerto Rico, that you should totally avoid if you're potentially or are pregnant, because this is a really bad virus, and the other virus that goes with it, whose name I can't remember right now, is exactly the same, if you will. In any case, the point of this is that the mosquitoes are thriving, and you've got to be more aware of it. Now, there's another thing that's thriving. It's ticks, and the ticks have now doubled in the part of the population they're with. Gary Ginsberg again told us about this early last week, way before anyone else did, and that is that the ticks are moving to around half of the country, and they're carrying Lyme disease to more than half of the country, and it is a tremendous increase. So what should you do about this because of the increase in tick population? Well, there's some basic things you should do in general with ticks. One is you want to wear DEET on your skin that's exposed, and primethine on the clothes that you have, and then examine yourself and your animals when they come in from outside if you live in one of these counties. Ohio used to be relatively free of this just 3 years ago. Now Ohio, the deer population in Ohio seems to be infested with ticks that carry Lyme disease. So what we've got to do is say, let's both, we've got, it may be there's got to be a way of recontrolling the deer population. It's because of lack of control and the deer's getting so popular. But there's some things you should do. It's now more than 300,000 cases of Lyme disease. If you get a tick bite, go and see your doc. Get a prescription. There are simple medicines, tetracyclines, that do a really good job on it early on. Now, Lyme disease, chronic disease, we'll come back and talk about what you should do when you get inside. We're listening to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, on Radio MD. Stay well.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration, and this product is not intended to diagnose, cure, treat, or prevent any disease.
Awaken your mind with Exact, a new dietary supplement designed to help you gain a mental edge. Exact fuels your natural brain chemicals to unleash mental energy and stamina, providing the intense focus and drive you need to initiate important tasks and push through challenges. With Exact, you can think smarter, faster, and stronger, because Exact supports faster reaction time and memory recall with improved problem-solving skill and accuracy. Exact contains ingredients from traditional Chinese medicine and Indian Ayurvedic medicine. No synthetic drugs or chemicals. Exact is created from herbs that have been safely used by healers for thousands of years. Experience a new kind of energy, mental energy, and get the focus and breakthrough mental edge you need to succeed with Exact. Learn more about the science behind Exact, see what customers are saying, and try Exact 100% risk-free at ExactMind.com. That's the letter X, ACTMind.com. ExactMind.com.
Do you have a great idea for a radio show but have no idea where to start? Or have you been hosting a podcast for a while and want to take it to the next level? If so, you need the Gab Radio Network. To host a show on the Gab Radio Network, all you need is your voice, and we'll handle the rest. From technical engineering to full-service audio production and much more. Every show on the Gab Radio Network can be heard on our station on the TuneIn Radio app. Plus, we put all of our shows on our satellite, which is accessed by over 5,500 stations. results. And here's the best part. You can host from anywhere you want. There are many means to connect to the Gab Radio Network remotely, and our staff of highly trained engineers and producers will make you sound like you're right here in studio. So, if you want to be on the Gab Radio Network, the same network that hosts the Small Business Advocate, Radio MD, and The Federalist, send an email right now to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com.
My name is Jenny Allen, and I'm a mother, a writer, and a performer. I also survived uterine and ovarian cancers. I even wrote a play about that.
Maybe you are just cancer-ish. And it'll pass.
Before cancer, I took my health entirely for granted, like air. But my symptoms, pain in my abdomen, and periods that were heavier and longer than usual for me, related to menopause, I thought. But no, I had cancer. End treatment. If you have symptoms that last 2 weeks or longer, be brave. Go to the doctor. Ask questions. The odds are you don't have cancer, but find out for sure.
Ovarian and uterine cancers are gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everyone.
Now I'm feeling healthy and happy and hopeful. I am so lucky. I got sick, and then I got better.
I'm a paramedic, and it may sound silly, but a lot of people are afraid to call me when they're experiencing chest pain, or to call 911 if they're with someone experiencing chest pain. You know why? Because they think it would be embarrassing if it were a false alarm. Instead, people risk permanent damage or death because they're afraid they might get a lecture. That's ridiculous. So if you have an uncomfortable pressure, fullness, squeezing, or pain in the center of the chest that lasts more than a few minutes, call me. If you have a pain that spreads to the shoulders, neck, or arms, call me. If you have any discomfort in your chest with lightheadedness, fainting, sweating, nausea, or shortness of breath, call me. If you have any of these symptoms or are with someone who does, dial 911 right away. And if it is a false alarm, I'm not going to give you a lecture. I'll be happy to see you. I would much rather treat someone who isn't having a heart attack than to try to save someone who is. To learn more about heart attack warning signs, call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit us on the web at AmericanHeart.org.
And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, a show that helps you control your genes so you live at the highest you can possibly live. I wanted to talk a little bit more about tick, and then let's go in a wrap and review of what we've gone through today, because there's so many really important points. On ticks, 329,000 cases, the CDC said last year, of Lyme disease. It becomes asymptomatic, usually if you get treated early. But if you don't, it can cause brain dysfunction. It can cause chronic joint pain. It can cause a whole bunch of chronic, what we call inflammatory diseases that make you feel bad. Fever, headache, fatigue, a rash that often looks like a bullseye at the site of the tick bite are common. They're mostly, you can treat it with common antibiotics, but if left untreated, it can lead to these chronic neurologic and joint problems that are really horrible. What should you do? Well, you should look for ticks on you and on your clothes, and as we said, wear the DEET on your exposed areas of skin, and make sure you clean them off, see the tick, bring them out, use the tweezers, and get the antibiotic treatment. And remember, if you see it, you want to get rid of it. Avoid wooded and brushy areas with high grass and leaf litter, and walk in the center of trails. Use repellents that contain 20-30% DEET on your exposed skin and clothing for protection that lasts up to several hours. Use products that contain permethrine, P-E-R-M-E-T-H-R-I-N, to treat clothing and gear such as boots, pants, socks, and tents. bathe or shower as soon as possible after coming indoors, preferably within 2 hours. Conduct a full body tick check using a handheld or full-length mirror to view all parts of your body to make sure you don't have it. Examine clothing, gear, and your pets for ticks. And those are how to avoid Lyme disease. That's the best advice we can give you. We had great guests at the bottom of the hour. In the first hour, Bill Marler, the best, most successful, if you will, food safety lawyer, suing from successfully Jack in the Box, Taco Bell, has suits against Costco and Chipotle. But his point is, don't trust when you go out. Don't have salads. Don't have things that have to be washed. Have hot food. Make sure it's cooked really well. Inside your own home, make sure you wash it. Lettuce, rewash it. Triple washed spinach, rewash it. Rewash it. That's the key. Wash it just right before you're going to cook or eat it so you know it's good. And hamburger, make sure you cook it at high temperatures. That's true of all those foods. Wellness foreplay, remember, pay attention to the scientists, not the official food guidelines. The recommendations from the panel, much better. Avoid that red meat, avoid processed meat, avoid foods with saturated fat. Cutting back all fat isn't the way to help your heart. Cutting back on bad fats, adding good fats like the odd omegas is key. HPV, 17-fold increase on average, between 7 and 22-fold increase in throat and neck cancers. Yes, if you're going to become sexually active again when young or old, get the shot beforehand. Why now? New viruses for Lyme disease. Yeah, it is the change in humidity and temperature is making these viruses spread more rapidly. What do we do when warning labels on soft drinks? We think it's a great idea. 50% reduction in the kids that had soft drinks when they were warned, when the parents were warned about buying them with a warning label, much like we have warning labels on cigarettes, but these were just warning labels saying how bad sugar drinks was for their child's health. And now let's go to the real age tip of the week. In the first hour, we talked about how to make it so shoveling was safer, and that tip was you warm up beforehand, you make sure you've taken an aspirin the night before if you can, and your doc says it's appropriate, and then you do a warm-up with light snow and a light or smaller shovel. How do you make sledding safer? Well, that's right. Sledding sends more than 20,000 kids to the ER each year, and the injuries often occur when the sled hits a stationary object or when the child falls off the sled. Bruises, cuts, and broken bones, those are the most common injuries. Not really as bad, but head and neck injuries are common among children 6 years and older. And the most common injuries, fractures, 25% of broken bones. But the majority occur during that collision, and the head was the most commonly injured body part in 34% of the cases. So what do you do? Teach children to have an adult when they go sledding. Avoid sledding near trees, fences, light poles, or on rocky hills. Always go down the hill feet first. Learn how to stop and turn the sled by using your feet. Have only the recommended number of passengers on the sled at one time. Do not sled into the street or on a highway. Never ride a sled being pulled by a car, ATV, snowmobile, or other motorized vehicle. Avoid sledding on driveways. Well, I got to tell Jim, I told him he can slide on the driveway. Or hills or slopes that end in a street, drop off, parking lot, river, or pond. And because they're harder to steer, the best place to use a tube is in a tubing park, often found at ski resorts. So those are the real age tip of the week. Basically, wear a helmet on your head and then avoid doing it where you go, where there are a lot of trees, light poles, or fixed objects. And that's the real age tip of the week. As the last of the wrap-ups, I want to say thank you to Jim Graham for calling in. Anyone can call in anytime. That number, 844-305-7800. Talk to Ben and he'll get you on the air. Or you can send us a question in between or even a request for a topic at udocs@gmail.com. In either case, put a question for the subject line. If you're asking about a topic, say, can I have X as the guest? Or can we talk about X as the guest? In any case, remember, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about extra virgin olive oil next week, as it's so healthy for us and for you. Keep it capped tightly, air fresh, air free. And in the meantime, have a great week. Enjoy the snow. But best advice for doing in a blizzard, nothing.
Over 30 years ago, R.W. and Margaret Garcia set out to make the best tasting, healthy tortilla chip in the world. They invested every dime they had and started selling chips to retailers out of their family van. Today, R.W. Garcia products are sold around the world. Their products use only the highest quality, premium ingredients, are verified non-GMO, certified gluten-free, and contain no additives or preservatives. Try their three-seed kale, sweet potato, or harvest crackers, or go for their crunchy, tasty mixed bags of blue, yellow, and red tortilla chips. And for sure, every family must have one of their big bags of blue or yellow corn tortilla chips for healthy snacking and parties. Without question, R.W. Garcia is changing the way people snack with their simple philosophy. Great tasting can be good for you. Go to rwgarcia.com to find out where their products are sold in your area. R.W. Garcia, the best tasting healthy tortilla chip in the world.
Breast cancer is the second leading cause of cancer deaths among women in the United States. Better screening and treatment have contributed to a decline in breast cancer deaths. However, not all women have benefited equally from these improvements. Black women have the highest death rate from breast cancer compared to any other racial or ethnic group. We can all help reduce deaths from breast cancer. Healthcare professionals can ensure that women get the tests and treatment they need on time. Patient navigators can help guide women through the healthcare system so they get the care they need. Women need to educate themselves about breast cancer and talk to their healthcare provider about how to reduce their risk. The full benefit of breast cancer screening is achieved when every woman receives adequate screening, timely follow-up, and high-quality treatment. Learn more at www.cdc.gov/